Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Is Tech News Today for Thursday, September 2nd, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle the used gadgets lying around your home or office. For a 5% bonus payment for your used gadgets, go to gazelle.com, bonus code TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Dr. Kiki.
Behind the boards, our excellent producer, Eric Lanigan.
Hey, guys. Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Eric.
Hey. Good. This is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you, try to make some sense of it all. And we're going to start off with a Samsung Galaxy Tab real announcement. Not a rumor. It's for real. They were at the IFA show, which is going on, actually officially starts tomorrow in Berlin. But like all these things, they always have press events that start 2 days early. And Samsung has unveiled the Galaxy Tab. It's coming to Europe and the UK in October. It'll come to Asia and the United States a little later on. North America, I should say. Canada as well. 7-inch, 3G and Wi-Fi built in. No carrier, no price. Streams video to HDTV, though. You can hook it up to your television and stream the video out. Nice. And it supports flash, does have a front and back facing camera. The back facing camera is 3 megapixel, I think. The front's 1.2, if I've got that right.
It's like an iPad Kindle hybrid, kind of. It's nice looking.
iPad mini.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you took a large paperback and made it into a smaller paperback.
And they say that when they release it, it's going to come with Froyo. Android 2.2, but it's going to use Honeycomb, which is the 3.0 Android. So it will be upgraded eventually to the next Android. And they said they've got another tablet. It's going to use Gingerbread. I gave away the lead. It's going to use Gingerbread, which is 3.0. And they say they've got another tablet that's going to use Honeycomb, which isn't even officially announced as the next Android after 3.0.
Yeah, it is the tablet that is yet to be.
The tablet that cannot be named.
Exactly.
It's very exciting because, with all the tablet netbook stories, really, up until now, it's just always been the iPad. So iPads are great. I love it. But it's nice to have a worthy competitor that'll do different things. And so we've got some options, finally.
Yeah, and there were a bunch of people at CES at the beginning of the year, a bunch of companies that had their tablet options out there, and slowly they're starting to actually get released. Companies that were whispering about it are now, like Samsung, actually announcing their tablets, their tabs this time around.
This one,
it's great that the marketplace is growing, and so there will be a lot more options for people.
Yeah, I mean, from now, think of what everyone will be deciding to buy each other for Christmas, for example. Right. It's good. It's good. Competition is good.
I was going to say someone from Gizmodo, the British, a British commenter from Gizmodo had mentioned that because it runs Android, it's also going to be really something that a different segment of the market might go for, because they're familiar with the Google marketplace. They're familiar with all the Google apps and the way that that interface works, as opposed to the world of Apple. So there may be a whole bunch of consumers out there who are going to be much more willing to buy this and ready to buy this than an Apple iPad.
A few of the reports that I saw said that it's just about the size that you could slip in a pocket. Because it's not too terribly thick. So it may be big for most pockets, but it's almost there. It's almost pocket size.
Would not fit in any of my pockets.
Not in my pockets.
Sorry.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody carry a bag pocket? Now you have man bags, lady bags.
Tom, you kind of wear the baggy jeans, so you might be able to shove this in a baggy
Because I knew someday I'd want to put a 7-inch tablet in my pocket.
I'm just going to hold off. I'm going to keep waiting for the flexible screens that I can just roll up like a magazine and then stick in my pocket. That'll be the day.
Right. It'd be like Bruce Springsteen.
That's right.
Shoving a newspaper in your back pocket.
Engadget pointing out that they have a promo site that is maybe unintentionally amusing. It's maybe loosely translated, perhaps. Samsung's a Korean company, and they point out that at one point they tout that the Samsung Galaxy Tab gives you more relief on the go.
I love that. If you can't find a bathroom, just hold a Galaxy Tab. More relief.
It's more room, more relief. It's the Galaxy.
Also, there's a video call demo that suggests you and a coworker share cozy time.
Cozy time. Aww.
Cozy time with the coworkers.
You know, I love all of my coworkers, but I don't know about the cozy time.
I don't know. Just wait until we get the Galaxy Tab roaming around here.
Maybe we'll want to do some cozy times.
We might.
That things are going to change around the cottage.
Could be.
Come home soon, Tom.
It's a very cozy cottage, after all.
More relief on the go. I love that. Yeah, translation sometimes just...
my favorite.
You just think somebody maybe who's a native English speaker might say, it sounds just a little, it just doesn't.
Just a little strange.
It doesn't work right.
Yes.
But
yeah. It's not like the translations on the side of Japanese products that are so horribly off. It's not that. It's just a little bit like more relief on the go.
Exactly. There's sense to be made of it. You just figure if you would have worded it a little bit differently, we wouldn't be snickering about it right now.
Right.
Yep.
So there you go.
Now, did you guys sign up for Ping on iTunes yet?
Nope.
Well, you know, I've been holding off because I haven't heard a whole lot of good. I mean, most of my friends say that it's like the worst thing they've ever seen. Tom, what do you think?
It's not the worst thing you've ever seen. I mean, it's not going to harm
ever.
You.
There have been wars.
Yeah.
I didn't say it had a stinger sticking out of it that would kill you.
It's not going to hurt you.
But folks, anyway, go on.
I think some people had some high expectations for it, and it's limited in what it does. So it doesn't allow you to just post comments like a Twitter does, and it doesn't do playlist sharing live like Last.fm does, you know, the scrobbling stuff. Doesn't do that on the fly necessarily. It's a little bit delayed, but it's okay. I signed up for it. What was interesting is when I signed up, I got a Facebook Connect prompt to see if I wanted to find other users using my Facebook
friends.
Which
is usually very convenient, a good way to connect with all your friends in one fell swoop.
Absolutely. But when I did it, it didn't find any friends. So I thought, well, maybe I just upgraded early enough that there's not a lot of other people on it. Turns out that Facebook has been blocking the API from Apple. So people who signed up later didn't even get the Facebook Connect. Apple actually yanked it and pulled it off. But I looked at my privacy settings. I'm still authorized. I've got Facebook authorized to connect with Ping. But I guess what happened was the terms of service on using Facebook Connect says that they can cut you off if you abuse it by pinging it too often. Pun not really intended.
But appreciated.
Or if you just have too many users of it. And of course, iTunes has 160 million users. So the backstory, according to Kara Swisher on All Things D, is they were in negotiations, Facebook and Apple, over how to make this work. Negotiations fell apart. And so Apple just decided to leave the API in there. It's an open API, after all. And when Facebook found that out, they blocked it.
If we can't be partners, we're not going to be friends. We can't do anything together.
How can we be lovers if we can't be friends?
I don't know. We're going to have to talk with Facebook and Apple about that one.
Well, yeah, it's one of those situations where both companies are notorious for not backing down. They just kind of do what they want. Hey, if you don't want to work with
us, fine. And they're both successful.
So we'll just, sorry. You know, if you won't bend to our terms, then we have no use for you. Facebook against Apple. I mean, that's a good staring contest. That could go on for a while.
Forever.
I still think Apple would win, but...
I believe Steve Jobs needs to acknowledge my contribution, or whatever that line is from the social network.
from that trailer. Yeah, the whole situation just seems a little odd. These two giants, like you said, staring each other down. And I mean, in the end, it does is make it a little less convenient for the user. Because instead of being able to just grab all of your contacts that you've already spent time collecting and getting together in Facebook, that would be so easy to do via Connect, now you have to do it all over again, send out emails, do the new connecting search for individual users in the iTunes ping. You know, it just makes it really inconvenient. So I don't, that's one of the reasons I've been looking at it, and I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm just not interested in getting into a whole new social network type thing that's going to be separate in its own little walled garden from everything else that I'm doing. I don't need it.
My guess is that they'll work out an agreement eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, they may not, but I have a feeling that they want to. I think both sides actually want to. It's just, like you say, it's a little bit of a staring contest.
It's in their best interest for everybody to come to an agreement as soon as possible because, like Kiki said, it's us that we're the inconvenienced ones. We're the ones that are annoyed, and it makes both companies look a little sloppy.
Right.
Frankly, the drama of the staring contest is the most interesting thing about Ping.
That's right.
See, not the worst thing ever.
No.
It's dramatic.
Ooh, exciting, like a soap opera, but not at all.
What is also probably, I don't know, some it'd have to be turned into a soap opera to make it extraordinarily interesting is that AOL has struck a deal with Google to extend their search partnership through 2015. Reason this is significant, I guess, is AOL made a really big deal out of their Google partnership the last time they struck it and actually gave Google equity in AOL. That was back when Time Warner still owned AOL. Now that it's spun off and independent, there's actually a different group of people in charge, and they think that AOL is going to make more money on this partnership. In fact, CEO Tim Armstrong says the deal should help it to make more and more money on mobile and video.
So that last partnership was back in 2005. So it's been 5 years, and now they're looking to do another 5 years. Mm-hmm. But the terms are very different this time around.
Yeah, I think the exciting part is the addition of the mobile and the video aspects of this. The fact that they're really integrating YouTube into this, and AOL in their restructuring and rebranding themselves and putting themselves in the marketplace in a completely different way right now. I mean, they're no longer your dial-up provider. They're now going to be like a content provider. They're now trying to get themselves out there and be seen. And so continuing a partnership, a deal with Google is really going to help them in that arena. And then, you know, for both of them to be able to make money on putting on-demand video content, print content out, I think it's just going to be a win-win.
I'm pretty.
And their CEO used to be a VP of advertising at Google, so he knows how to strike this deal.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm actually the most interested to see what AOL will look like in 5 years, because they really are pushing a restructuring, rebranding agenda pretty tough.
Hard. They have to.
I mean, they absolutely do.
The dial-up market is dying, and what are they going to do?
Yeah,
who are they going to be?
I feel like AOL might go away as a name. In other words, AOL may or may not be able to be successful as a portal, as a competitor to Yahoo, which is essentially what they're trying to do.
Right.
But AOL as a company, against all odds, I think is actually going to do okay. They've got some great properties, you know, and Gadget and all the Weblogs Inc., you know, among them, that I think will pull them through somehow. So the search deal is just a way for them to try to, you know, work into these different platforms, mobile and video, and hedge their bets against things. It's not like search is going to be the be all and end all that saves them.
No, it's not. And they even say in one of these articles, I think it's Tom Armstrong who even says that search decline is going to continue, and part of our search revenue will go down. So he's even, you know, being very honest about that.
Well, they have to change
their priorities. Let's take a moment to thank our sponsor, Gazelle. If you've got, I don't know, an old iPod Touch or an iPod Nano you're thinking about ditching now because the new ones just came out, or any kind of gadget, I just sold my own iPhone 3GS on there because I've got an iPhone 4 now. But if you've upgraded to a Droid 2 and you want to get rid of your original Droid or any gadget you got lying around, Gazelle is the place to go. They recycle responsibly, but more often than not, they're going to give you cash for it. You don't have to do any hard work. All you do is go online, look up your gadget, tell them the condition it is. They'll give you a quote. They'll even send you a box if you're that lazy, which I was. You take it, pack up your gadget in it, use some old newspapers or something, send it back to them. They look at it. As long as your condition matches what you said, they give you the money. Sometimes they'll even give you more. Sometimes they'll give you a little less. It all depends. But most of the time, you get pretty much spot on what they quoted you. And you've got cash. They can put it right into your PayPal account. They can give you an Amazon gift card. They can send you a check. Or as a listener to TNT, you can actually get a very nice little 5% bonus no matter how you get paid. So just use that code TNT when you go to gazelle.com and sell your old gear. Because if you're anything like me, you're always tempted to buy the new gear, and it gets expensive. So one way to subsidize that behavior, gazelle.com. They say, don't just sell it, gazelle it. You don't have to say that. You can still make money. All right, let's talk about Dell withdrawing from the three-par bidding. Finally.
You've been waiting for this,
Well,
Sarah.
I was just wondering when the auction, when someone was going to bow out gracefully. Go on, Tom.
I'm with you. I think that this is a relief for all of us because basically HP just came in and stomped on Dell. If you don't remember, it started with Dell offering $18 a share, and then HP came in and outbid them with a couple, there's $22 a share or something like that. And then Dell matched it, and then HP came back and stomped on them again. And then Dell matched it, and then HP stomped on them again. And it was going back and forth like that until yesterday. Let's see, the last thing, Dell bid $32. And HP outbid them this morning with $33.
And Dell said, we're out. And it's important to remember, we're saying $18 per share is worth $1.13 billion. So that's, I mean, from the beginning, Dell trying to acquire 3PAR for, a little over $1 billion. Yeah. I mean, now we're double that. Yep. And HP is like, we won for $2.4 billion.
Yay!
And Dell says, we're out of this.
You know, 3PAR stockholders are like, we won.
Yeah. Well,
I just wonder at what point, had the amount of money that would go into buying the company 3PAR is balanced out by how much it would cost to start your own division within your company to develop a similar technology.
That's a good point. Yeah. So also, how much of it is really wanting 3PAR and how much of it is not wanting the other company
to be able to use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
According to Lena Rao over at TechCrunch, Mark Hurd, the former CEO of HP, was not very R&D friendly. So this is an easy way for them to get storage and get cloud storage and IT allocation. It's, it's a high-end enterprise company, and either HP or Dell was going to benefit greatly from them. But boy, 3PAR has just got to be looking at themselves going, wow, this is not what we expected. This is awesome.
I know.
Or at least stockholders.
Stockholders are happy.
Right. The bidding war is over. We can all relax now. Congratulations to HP.
Yes, 3PAR finally gave their rose to HP.
In the will it last?
Do you have the wing?
All right. Microsoft has put the final touches on Windows Phone 7, made it RTM, released to manufacturing, sent it off to the OEMs now. So the OS has been finalized. All that's left before release is for the manufacturers to add on their little crapware to it, test it out, make sure it works on their devices. And we should have some kind of Windows Phone 7 launch event scheduled sometime in the fall. Sounds like devices are going to hit Europe in October and the United States in November.
That's great.
I'm still so curious to see how it goes over with consumers. Microsoft seems so late to the game on this one, but then again, we've mentioned before, it's like Microsoft doesn't always, look at Xbox.
They do great.
They hit the home runs. Yeah. They're not incapable of pulling this one off. I can't help but throw out the kin. Didn't do so well, but totally different thing. So,
and maybe they learned a number of lessons with the kin, that can be applied to this mobile venture.
Well, the kin was a weird thing because it was essentially the sidekick division that they had bought. They kind of had to do something with it, right?
Yeah,
Xbox is an interesting example too because it has done very well, but it's not really a cash cow. Windows Mobile could have been a cash cow for them, so this is their chance to try to recapture some of that.
Are any of us realistically, how do we all feel about the Windows? I already have a phone, so
I had a phone before my Android phone that was Windows based.
Yeah,
it's a fine operating system for a smartphone. So Windows Phone 7 might be a step up, might be even better, and I'd be interested to see.
I'm for testing purposes, very curious. Mm-hmm. Tom, what do you think?
I'm fine with the phone that I've got right now, but I am always tempted by new phones, and I will be interested to see what this looks like. I got to have my hands on one way back at South by Southwest. It was really early stages, though, but the interface looked great. And it has some of that WebOS magic of kind of taking all of your information and aggregating it together so you don't have to page through a bunch of different things. You get all your contacts together no matter where they're from. We'll see how that works in practice. But I'm intrigued. What I'm worried about is that Windows Phone 7 will come out and it will feel like it should have come out a year ago.
Right.
Because Microsoft does tend to have that happen to them. I'm thinking there's a 71% chance that's not going to happen, that Windows Phone 7 is going to look pretty modern. Whether it can actually recapture market share or whether it will just hold the line and stop eroding market share, I think probably the latter.
Yeah. Especially with the app, I mean, people from within Microsoft say, well, we have a lot of requests. People are really excited about getting Windows Phone 7 apps out there. But I mean, how many of these apps are going to be revolutionary that we're not already used to on iOS or Android or...
Right, and by the time they actually launch this, and so if we're launching October, November, and they're going to be going live, they say in this article on Ars Technica in September 16th with the SDK, that's not a lot of time for developers to actually get new, unique apps in shape for the platform.
Yeah, I think they're gambling that as long as you have a few of the big ones, that's all you need. All right, the FCC is being accused of dithering by public interest groups. They have now asked for more public comment on net neutrality proposals, including the one from Google and Verizon that came out a few weeks back. This is the latest statement. They want more information about the plan. They want public comment on the ideas of exempting wireless and other branded services. FCC is playing the politics game very carefully here, but everyone's getting antsy and saying, look, just make a decision, will you? FCC's like, no.
I love this whole thing, though. Everyone's like, you're dithering. Like, I love the word choice of dithering, by the way. Great choice.
Whether me dither.
But, I mean, really, how much public input has the FCC gotten? Is this really them stalling for time? Or are they really honestly trying to get the public's opinion? I mean, there's a certain part of me that just feels like there are these quote-unquote public interest groups who are saying, we know what's best for the public. Just make a decision. We've been talking to you already. You don't need to know what the public wants. We already know better.
Trust us.
We
know what's good for you. It is typical politics. Broken LCD cracked me up in the chat room just now. He's like, I don't accuse them of dithering. I accuse them of anti-aliasing.
Nice.
Good one, Broken LCD.
2 points, Broken LCD. All right, finally, Sony has showed off a 3D laptop. Lots of good stuff coming out of IFA in Berlin this year. The 3D laptop has a 3D button, uses the active shutter glasses. Those are the ones usually used for the home HD. So if you have one for your Sony Bravia, it would work on your Sony laptop. And they say the 3D Vios will debut next spring. That's 2011, according to Howard Stringer, Sony's chief executive. The prototype shown used frame sequential technology that rapidly cycled the full screen between left and right eyes with blank screens in between to limit crosstalk. So it's got a nice 240 frames per second screen going on with a 3D rate of 60 frames per second. They wouldn't reveal what graphics card they were using or anything about the technology inside because they haven't settled all that. So I don't know how real you can call this yet.
I'm also looking at it, and although the glasses aren't that nerdy, they've kind of got like a futuristic cool thing going on. How comfortable would you be walking down to the cafe and firing up the 3D laptop? And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to imagine a world where I wouldn't look twice at somebody and go, oh God, what are they doing?
It'll be everyone will be doing it. Come on, Sarah.
It's at one point, I'm sure it'll be very normal. And to me right now, I'm not there yet.
I'm not there either. Yeah. I'll be honest.
Well, you get you go and you buy the custom gunner glasses that had to support multiple protocols. And then it just looks like you're wearing your cool shades inside, like you're going all Corey Hart at the coffee shop.
One of the great things, though,
I'll wear my 3D glasses in public.
Inside.
Yeah. Doesn't quite work. No.
No.
Yeah, the one of the great things is also anyone trying to snoop over your shoulder can't really get a good sight on what you're looking at.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
What's that boring thing? Sorry, you need the glasses.
You need the glasses. You can't see it.
Although you're really going to be doing your sensitive like Word document in 3D.
Ooh, yes. It's like, think of new kinds of encryption. You need 3D glasses in order to see what I'm typing right now.
3D
my
factor
encrypted IM chat.
Yes.
Ooh, I've got an idea. Yeah, the wheels are in motion.
Make it work.
Sarah's going to make a million, I tell you.
I'm going to be a billionaire.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the news fuse.
Awesome.
Indian Home Secretary G.K. Pillai told reporters on Wednesday that notices were being sent to Google and Skype to provide lawful access of data to security agencies. So it really happened. Google and Skype have been summoned. The country sees access to such communications as vital in its fight against militants and terrorists who may use encrypted networks to plot attacks.
Yikes. Starting this month, mobile carriers in China are requiring people who set up new mobile phone accounts to register with their real names as part of a new government measure to reduce anonymity among the country's 800 million mobile users. And within 3 years, the carriers must also register the real identities of all existing users. Online gamers faced a similar requirement starting in August.
If you were worried, don't be, because Apple cleared the use of the word ping with golf company Ping before using the name for its new Web 2.0 music lookup feature in iTunes. The golf company made filings with the trademark office back in April describing use of their name for computer systems. So who leaked?
Maybe Ping FM.
Yeah, Ping FM, blame them.
A new iPad-specific version of Twitter's app was released yesterday. The new version takes full advantage of the tablet's 9.7-inch screen real estate by weaving in web pages, photos, and videos related to tweets. You can see more about it on the upcoming iPad today.
I'm still having a problem with the pinch feature, but that's just me.
You'll get it.
I've got bad fingers.
Just keep practicing.
I will.
You'll get it.
I'm going to practice my pinch.
That's right. The 1980s beat the 21st century in Japan last month.
Woo!
What does that mean? Well, sales of Sony's Walkman line beat those of Apple's iPod line in Japan for the month of August. According to survey results released Thursday by BCN, a Tokyo-based research firm, during August, Sony took a 47.8% share of the portable music player market, while Apple captured 44%.
Go 1980s.
Woot.
Yesterday, Apple CEO Steve Jobs touted Apple's iPhone activation numbers and said, "We think some of our friends are counting upgrades in their numbers," which most people took as a little poke at Google. Today, Google spokesperson told Fortune, "The Android activation numbers do not include upgrades and are, in fact, only a portion of the Android devices in the market, since we only include devices that have Google services."
We told you previously about the juror in Detroit who posted an update on Facebook that read, "Gonna be fun to tell the defendant they're guilty," while the trial was still going on. They have been removed from the jury, but that's not all. The judge who removed her has also tasked her with a 5-page essay that must illustrate her grasp on the constitutional rights to a fair trial. The juror says she's very, very sorry. And we don't blame her because 5 pages is a lot.
Five pages,
that's a lot. I feel
I'd rather
it's like
go
high
to jail.
Send me to jail. I don't want to write an
essay.
Does
it have to be handwritten too? My gosh.
Yeah, you have to have an outline.
Only in blue or black ink.
Oh, man. It's just taking me back to high school, writing sentences.
Don't, if you're on a jury, don't post things about the trial on Facebook. I mean, that is just like the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Dumb.
Well, maybe not, but almost.
Pretty close.
Pretty close.
And the last story in the news fuse, Verizon has announced prepaid data plans for phones. For $30 a month, you can get unlimited data. For $10, you get a 25 megabyte that runs you 20 cents a megabyte if you go over. The cheaper plan isn't meant for smartphones, which could easily hit the cap, but rather the so-called feature phones that the kids love so much these days.
All those kids and their messenger phones.
Yeah. Note to parents, these might be a good idea to keep your bills from running over.
Their bill runneth over.
The unlimited plan, not the 25 megabyte plan.
Yeah, not the 25 megabyte plan for sure.
All right. One more story before we get to the calendar. The human unconscious is being used in the virtual world, at least in a way that... Explain this to me. What's
going on? Yeah, I don't even...
So weird.
Kiki, this is so you. I don't even know what any of that meant.
I just thought this story is just a really interesting futuristic use of the virtual world and where technology is potentially going. So the researchers, they measured people's physiological parameters. So they got heart rate, they got your body temperature, and also your skin galvanic response. So it's a measures of how excited you are. And they took those measures and then piped them into virtual characters in a virtual world. So if your heart rate went up, then the character would kind of like bounce his foot a little bit more inside the virtual world and maybe act a little bit more amped
agitated. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so the idea is that what they say here, the ultimate aim is to develop a method which allows humans to unconsciously relate with some parts of the virtual environment more intensely than with others, and that they are encouraged only by their own physiological responses to the virtual reality shown. So maybe it's a way that they can really get people to interact that much more with the virtual world. And, you know, these kinds of, this kind of technology could potentially work for, you know, say, people in therapy or, you know, some kind of, you know, I don't know necessarily for gaming how it might work, but I could imagine that, you know, if you can see the way that somebody's fidgeting inside a game, you'll get, you know, especially maybe third person shooter, you're looking at all these people running around and you could see whether or not somebody's nervous.
Well, it's like peeling off one more layer of, oh, that virtual character sort of lifelike, but not lifelike enough.
Right.
It's like these little ways, if you're just more and more human, as a human, if you're looking at something like that, the more it's a mirror of yourself,
right,
the more that you relate to it.
Exactly.
It's kind of a weird virtual feedback if you were controlling that character and it started to act weird and then you realized the only reason it's acting weird is because I'm acting weird. Wait a minute.
You know, it's like it's
a
all
look
you,
inside
dude.
Your own soul.
It could be dangerous.
Yeah, one of the things in they did an experiment, and this is a little bit weird, that to see if the people that they were recording had any preference towards the virtual actor that was supposedly them, you know, that had the same body signals.
What if you hated the one that was most like you?
Yeah, they didn't seem to have any preference. They didn't necessarily like those virtual characters.
But they didn't make the virtual characters all the same. So they think some people may have picked it because of appearances. They need to control for that, I think.
Back to the drawing board on that experiment, researchers.
Or maybe it just goes to say that people don't see the weirdnesses of their own weirdnesses. You know?
They don't identify with it. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
I just don't notice.
I don't know how weird I am. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't care.
I don't care.
That virtual person's fine. Is that me? Love it. All right, should we move on to the calendar, everybody?
Yep.
Let's do.
IFA conference begins in Berlin tomorrow. Eric Schmidt is delivering the closing keynote, so we've already seen some good stuff coming out of Berlin. Chrome, happy birthday, or happy anniversary, I guess. It's celebrating its second anniversary today. Ooh. And they've even got a little goodie for us. Chrome 6 browser is out. So if you haven't gone and gotten that yet, do it now. Verizon has rolled out its prepaid data plan for 3G smartphones.
Oh, yeah, we already told you about that.
Oh, yeah. Why am I telling you again?
I forgot to delete that from the calendar.
That's okay.
It's deleted.
I was like,
never mind. It was never there.
Well, it's just that we really, really want you to know about it. Have you absorbed the information yet? If not, and now you know. Prepaid data plans. You could say this isn't geeky, but I wanted to wish everyone out there a happy 90210 day. Brenda, Dylan, Kelly... I think David Silver, Donna.
I think it's geeky.
Because it's September 2nd. It's only 90210 day in the U.S.
That's right.
Only in the U.S. But it's also my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. Aww.
Happy birthday, Mama Kiki.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Kiki.
Also wanted to remind everybody that Monday, at least in the U.S., is Labor Day. So TNT is going to be taking a no Labor Day of relaxation, and we will not be doing a live show.
Nice.
So
good for you.
We'll definitely have some fun reruns on Monday, but no live show. So just keep that in mind.
We will be honoring the struggle that labor has fought to bring us a weekend by extending the weekend.
By sitting in an inner tube, drinking tall one.
That sounds nice.
That's my plan anyway.
I want to do that.
I'll be flying back from DragonCon, actually, and willing to share stories about the TWiT meetup that is happening a mere 2 days from this recording on Saturday, September 4th. If you'd like to come, it's at the Sundial Restaurant, which is like, I don't know, 20 floors up from where I am right now. So come on out to the Sundial Restaurant. And don't forget to email Lisa at twit.tv. Let us know you're coming so we can get an idea how many people to expect. Also, NSFW show live tomorrow night, Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern from DragonCon. And, of course, we're going to have DragonCon coverage almost wall to wall all weekend long. The parade, walking through the hotels, hitting the parties. So check out live.twit.tv all weekend for that Dragon Con coverage.
Dragon Con is going to be so awesome. I wish we were there.
I know.
Maybe next year.
Hold down the fort.
Yeah, next year we'll bring a bigger crew. It would be fun.
Tom, I can't wait to see your dragon costume. Really excited about the pictures from that.
It's not a costume.
It's like
I actually transform into a dragon.
Exactly. Even more exciting.
Puff the magic dragon.
All right.
We're running long today, but we got some good stuff from folks. Paul, our favorite sysadmin.
Hi, Paul.
Our favorite sysadmin that sends us videos anyway. Send us a video.
Hi, TNT crew. This is Paul, the British sysadmin in Hawaii. This is just in follow-up to WikiLeaks hosting their content in nuclear bunkers. For anyone that's worked in the hosting industry at all or had anything to do with it, this isn't really anything shocking or new to be using nuclear bunkers. There's two firms in the UK that provide it that I'm aware of, one called The Bunker and one called Smart Bunker. Both of them use decommissioned nuclear bunkers. It's ideal, it's secure, you've got most of the facilities that you require for service are already there for them, so it's almost purpose-built for it now. From a sysadmin perspective, what surprises me about it is that we're talking that WikiLeaks is only hosting in a single location. Given the sensitive nature of the site and given the traffic levels that will be hitting the site, it strikes me as more prudent to be based in more than one location and use something like, I don't know, geographic server load balancing to make sure that you're hosting from the most geographically convenient location and to make sure that you've got an always-up service. If you've got something like that in place, you don't have to worry about some third party putting pressure on your hosting provider, for example, to shut down your services. I would imagine that he'd want it to be in more than one location and in more than one country as well, so that he's got as much protection and to make it as difficult as possible for anyone to take his service down. Anyway, love the show.
You know, I would be surprised if WikiLeaks isn't got a redundant plan similar to that, wouldn't you guys?
Yeah, I'm sure that they have a plan in place for things like that, but I don't know. I would guess that they would, but who knows?
All right, let's move on to our other voicemail from a caller who has some thoughts on the absence of apps from the new Apple TV. Intriguing theory.
Hey, TNT crew, it's Ken from GeekDead. Following up on the Apple TV issue, everybody's saying that Apple's missed the boat about not having apps on the machine. However, I'd like to point out that we do have apps next to the machine, connected to the machine. If you think about the fact that you're going to be able to stream media from your iPhones, iPod touches, and your computers, but especially your iPhones, iPads, and iPods, to the Apple TV, that means we're one API away from developers being able to stream their media from your device to the Apple TV. And that means that the Hulu app on your phone, on your iPad, could stream media to the Apple TV. I think it's there. I think, or at least, you know, what, iOS 4.2, iOS 4.3, it's going to be there. At least I'm hoping. All right, thanks, guys. Great show. Talk to you soon. Bye.
I think this is a really interesting comment, you know, especially juxtaposed against the statement that Steve Jobs made during the Apple presentation that or in an interview recently, that he basically said, you know, people don't want a computer in their living room. So maybe people don't want a computer in their living room, but yeah, what about an iPad or an iPhone that just neatly hooks up to your television and doesn't take up a lot of space and is really easy to use because you have these really seamless apps.
Although some people do want to, they don't, I mean, the Mac Mini, I've heard a lot of folks since yesterday, since the Apple announcement, say, you know, the Mac, what is so wrong with the Mac Mini? I mean, it's your TV just becomes an extension of your computer, and it's the best of all worlds.
Yep.
So I guess it just, I don't know, it just depends on the way you want things to evolve. I mean, we do have options here.
We do. Many, many wonderful options.
Yeah, I still think that you could have a hard drive in a nice, small, elegant device that hooks up to your TV that's not a computer and could still do apps and streaming. And I think Boxy is going to show that. In fact, we've got some emails to that effect. Avner Rosen from Boxy has said, you know what? We're going to come out with a device that's twice as expensive as the Apple TV, and it's going to be worth it. And we think people are going to want it. So that was my disappointment with the Apple TV, is that it doesn't run the apps locally. Yeah, okay, maybe you'll be able to stream apps from your iPad. What if you don't have an iPad, though? You can stream stuff from iTunes, but you can't stream Hulu. So it's not a universal solution. There's too many restrictions to it. And I'm not sure those apps are actually going to stream to the Apple TV. I'm not sure if that's the way it's meant to work or not. So there's a lot of question marks there, a lot of ifs. To make Apple TV not be a hobby.
You brought up a good point, Tom, that what if you don't have an iPad? Well, what if Apple wants you to have one? You know, it's you can sell more units setting things up this way, too. I mean, you're going to upset some folks, but, you know, it's not the worst business model in the world.
Yeah.
If you're looking to increase your bottom line.
And they are really, you know, it's the Apple universe, the Apple world, where, you know, you buy all your products that can sync together. You know, they're all Apple, the Apple TV, your iPad, your iMac, whatever you happen to get. They all work together very nicely. Or you don't really live in the Apple world and you have other, you know, you use other pieces that you put together in the way that you like.
It is disappointing.
Yeah, you're right. Apple does do things that way, so I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't think it's going to win the battle for the home theater.
The hearts and minds of consumers? Yeah. No, I agree with you there. Yeah.
All right, let's finish up with one quick email to tnt@twit.tv. Hey, Tom, here is an FYI. I think it would be cool for the news fuse. Well, you know what? I'm going to make it an email. I know you know that 4.1 GM has been made available to all iPhone developers. The cool thing is that iOS 4.1 will work on any iPhone or iPod Touch, regardless if it is a developer phone or not. So posted some mirror links on my site to get your hands on iOS 4.1 early. Go to uneasysilence.com and take a look, and you will find links to several iOS 4.1 GM seeds. I don't know what kind of licensing agreements you may be treading all over, but appreciate this being sent along to us. You can try out iOS 4.1 right now without having to wait.
Thanks, cool. uneasysilence.com.
Yeah, seriously. That's awesome. All right. Well, and thank you guys for holding down the home fires, or whatever that cliche is.
The home front.
Things.
Stoking the fires, holding down the home front.
We're stoking the fires. We're I don't know. I'm all out. I think it's holding down the fort.
Hatches.
The fort.
The fort.
Yeah. Yes.
Batting down the hatches.
Down.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's good. We miss you. This is all very strange. I feel like we're in some sort of a TNT bizarro world, but
we are.
I am excited to hear all about Dragon Con.
I know.
And have
speaking of bizarro world, we will be doing TNT live from Dragon Con. That's the plan tomorrow. Guest host Len Peralta will be with me here in Atlanta.
Woo-hoo.
Sarah will be battening down the home fires or whatever tomorrow as well. And then, again, no show on Monday, and we're back in the studio on Tuesday. Live.twit.tv. Catch all the Dragon Con coverage. And, of course, you can find us at twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv. You can give us a call, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.